Hey team, welcome back to another episode of the Student Paramedic Podcast. Hey team, welcome back to another episode of the Student Paramedic Podcast. Today I'm sitting down with Quinton and Dylan from EMS Conferences Australia. Now we are having a chat today about their awesome company, the EMS Conferences Australia, and their spin on traditional CPD that usually occurs pretty much in a traditional setting, either on nowadays Zoom or in sort of like a hall. So we're going to talk about their awesome around the world trips of CPD, sort of their lifelong learning and how they got into all this. So thanks for jumping on, guys. It's really awesome to have you on.
Thanks for having us, Alex.
Yeah, cheers.
Well, we'll start with the beginning. I'd love to go through both of your experiences and how you guys met and why you started EMS Conferences.
So Quint and I first met when we started training to be paramedics together. It was actually the first day of driving school, the very first day of paramedic training.
We were terrible at driving.
Yeah, it was a terrible course, actually. And we just hung out ever since, went on lots of snowboard trips, surfing trips to Bali. And after a few years of working, we just decided that it'd be a good idea to set up a conference business where we'd travel overseas and get to enjoy the snowboarding and see where that business would take us.
That's awesome. So you guys have both been paramedics for quite some time now, and I'd love to sort of get your understanding of, you know, your experience in the paramedic sort of profession, and yeah, go a bit from there if you like.
So cool. My background first started in nursing. I was a nurse for about 7 years and then transitioned over to being a paramedic. And I've been working in Metro for most of the time in Western Australia, and little bits of country relief here and there, a little bit of industrial relief. But yeah, just working on the vans in Metro.
Yeah, and I've got a bit of a different background to Dylan getting into paramedics. So I was foolish enough to go and do an exercise and health science degree and sort of, yeah, got halfway through third year and realised there was no jobs at all except for being a PT. And that could have been, well, I would have done better doing a 6-week course before I did that. So kind of sat down, had a good think about what I liked, what I wanted. And it really came down to not wanting to do the 9-to-5, and I'd had a bit of background with through surf life saving here in WA, and I'd like to learn more about that first aid side of things. So was lucky enough to be accepted by St. John's, and as Dylan said, we kind of met in driver training and did our first couple of years on road. We're on the same shift colour, so having the 4 days off together was certainly beneficial to go do all the fun things that you like to do. But as sort of as time progressed, I went into community paramedic side of things. So moved up to Onslow for a year, which is about 1500 kilometres north of Perth. If you know Exmouth, it's sort of just up from Exmouth, whereas Exmouth's the nice sunny tourist destination with the crystal clear water. Onslow's not so much the tourist destination, and it's got pretty murky crocodile infested water. So I was there for a year, and whilst up there, that's when really Dylan came pounding with the questions about how we're going to keep doing these overseas trips, how we're going to keep snowboarding. I guess for both of us, families are on the horizon, and we still wanted an opportunity, I guess, to go traveling. And so, yeah, that's where the conference started coming into it. After being community paramedic, I then moved back down to Perth, and since then I've been more involved in the training side of things with paramedic education. So still with St. John's. And at the moment, my portfolio is the countryside of it. So with the volunteers and career staff that are around WA.
That's really awesome. You guys are absolutely phenomenal to have on and to be able to do all these conferences. So that's really sick. And I love how it comes out of that passion of, you know, wanting to travel and sort of see the world and sort of having a life outside of paramedicine, but then being able to merge them together. So that's really cool. So my question from here then is, what goes into these conferences, and how do you get the amazing people that you have to come to these exotic sort of locations and put together such a educational conference?
Yeah, well, I guess they started quite small. Their first conference was in Rizutsu in 2016, and I think we saw about 65 to 70 people there. We had great difficulty finding speakers, but thankfully 65, 70 people trusted us enough to come all the way to Japan and attend our conference, and we got really great feedback, and it really just grew from there. Most of our customers are from word of mouth. So we don't just run the conference. We try and help people have a good time on their holiday as well. So we try and point them in the right direction, like where the best runs are on the slopes, like other good places to travel in Japan. We run a midweek tour, so it gets them off the mountain and discovering other places around Rizutsu. So we just try and go above and beyond for the people that attend our conferences.
A lot of the success there is pretty much we wanted to create a conference that we wanted to go to. I think we see a lot of the PD events, whether they're local or further abroad, and it's kind of jam-packed with speakers. A lot of the speakers aren't that relevant to the paramedics or nursing field. It's pretty dry, the topics, and it's almost like the same people are on this circuit where they're lecturers, they've got their PhD, and it'll kind of just be a repeat or a recap of information that we already know. So the big one for us was what do we want to listen to, what do we want to learn about, and obviously there's a side that Dylan talked about in terms of enjoying the week and actually getting out and having fun, but we wanted to make sure the sessions were also informative, and that's been sort of a really big push for us, is making sure the presenters we get, they are engaging, they're enthusiastic. We don't really try and pigeonhole them into any topics, so they can sort of follow their passions. And the best presentations we've had are generally the ones that promote sort of the most discussion and get people talking about it, whether it be the next day, 2 days later, or contacting us a couple of weeks later asking for more info. So yeah, it's kind of, as Dylan said, it was born from a sort of a small idea and kind of almost snowballed from there.
That's really cool. And obviously, you know, you guys have had a lot of success in getting people over. You say 60 people is a small amount, but that's a pretty significant amount for people to travel to a different country for a conference and a holiday too. So that's pretty cool. Obviously, I'm sure COVID's put a bit of a halt in some of your plans, but having a look through your social media, you're obviously planning heaps more events that are coming up. Before we jump into sort of those events and sort of go into depth about that, from a student perspective in particular, because that's mainly our audience anyway, but what are some of the best things that you've learnt, particularly from having speakers at conferences and things like that? So more so that networking side of it, you know, getting out of that classroom environment and sort of, you know, actually engaging sort of outside of your university environment. What are some of the best things or the pros of doing that?
I think what we find in particular at our conferences is that because they are run overseas, people are in just a relaxed frame of mind. So you're a lot more likely to engage with people when you are relaxed and you're on holidays and you're in good spirits. And I think it's just people are very inclusive of each other at our events because of that. It's a little bit different when you are in your own city attending CPD, because you've got all the other home things to worry about. But yeah, it's different on holidays. I think particularly for students, it's just a good opportunity to make contacts, really. Yeah, network, make contacts, and it's just an easy environment to do that in.
That's fantastic. And so obviously you said there, like, networking and getting contacts is really important. And as you said, doing that in a relaxed way would make things a lot more, I guess, easier to make that connection. What would be the importance from a sort of student perspective of making those networks, and why is sort of engaging in CPD so important?
Yeah, I think there's yeah, two really good parts to that question. I think the first one, in terms of why is it important from the network perspective, I think it's really good to understand there's more out there than what you think, and there's more out there than what I know about too. And I'm certainly not saying that I'm the one that knows it all, but when I came into paramedics as a student, I had no idea what I was getting into. I just assumed that was, you sit in the back of a van, you talk to people, you take people to the hospital. Sometimes they need more help than others, but pretty much you have a chat, hang out with your mate in the cabin, and that's what being a paramedic is. And it's not until you sort of start on road that it really opens your eyes to everything else that's out there. And so, like, for myself, it was the community paramedic side of things, or the education side, or overseas opportunities such as in Bali for doing pracs and those sorts of things. And so I think paramedics, for everyone's not a sort of lifelong profession. It is taxing, the shift work, it does take its toll, and I take my hats off to those people that are able to do it for an extended amount of time. It's great that they do, and being able to pass their experience on to juniors as they come up the ranks is incredible. I think, though, for me, what I learned sort of 10 years into the job is that I love the job, I love that side of it, but I can't do this forever. It's just too taxing on the family and your other sort of lifestyle, I guess. So I think by coming to a conference early as a student, you're already sort of opening up your eyes, and you're getting that one step ahead of most people by understanding what else is out there, and whether that's speaking to an ED registrar and finding out what their background was, and it might be sort of in that retrieval side. You might go, hey, that's pretty cool. I thought only a few people that were critical care paramedics could do it, but then you might understand that actually there's the industrial side of it, or maybe through event side of it as well. Just having that conversations and being exposed, I guess, to all these different people from different walks of life that have these different backgrounds coming into their job. I think that's probably a huge one as a student attending our conference, what they can get out of it. In terms of the second part of the question, in terms of why the CPD is important, I guess it's, I think you've alluded to it earlier, I get that lifelong learning and that lifelong learner motto that you hear sort of banded around so much these days, but it's something that we do truly believe in. I think, though, it's relevant learning that you need to think about. And so by, I guess, looking at what YAPRA requirements are, so for paramedics, you need to do your 30 hours a year. You can do that by sitting behind a computer for 20 of those hours, reading a few journal articles, just going through sort of the stages, ticking the boxes, maybe rock up, do 10 hours of face-to-face CEP, and your PD's done, you're good to go for another year. For us, I think it's about making sure that that learning is relevant to what you do and what you want to do in the future, and it's enjoyable. So I think that's where the content side of it really comes through strongly with our conferences, and we make sure that all our sessions are relevant, our e-learning is relevant, and people just walk away from it feeling motivated. And I think all learning, you should walk away feeling motivated and going, how can I apply this to my practice, or what do I want to get from it? And that's sort of our aim through EMS conferences.
That's really great. And we bring up so many fantastic points there. And one of the things that we get quite a lot is, for example, if I'm posting on social media, you know, conferences that have come up or events that we've gone to and whatnot, students always say, I didn't know if I'd be able to go to that because I'm a student, or, you know, and that I feel like that's quite a common attitude or thought, really. And sort of that understanding of, you know, start it while you're in your first year. That's okay. You don't have to be a final year student. You have to be a grad. You don't have to be a qualified, you know, just starting to show that engagement and that enthusiasm, and just sort of, like you said, getting one step ahead and exposing yourself to people who've had so much experience in the jobs. And it sounds like if you're having, you know, like you said, your small amount of people, which is actually, I feel like, quite a lot, but you know, you had 60 people who probably have an extensive amount of experience, you're opening yourself up to a world of knowledge, and I think that's absolutely incredible. What do you guys got coming up next?
So next up in the end of July will be Queenstown. So we'll see around about 200 people attending that conference. That's quite a fun one, actually. So the opening registration evening will be a gondola ride up to Skyline for sunset, looking over the Remarkables. Some food and drinks provided there, and the following sessions will be run Tuesday to Friday at the QT Hotel.
Queenstown sounds absolutely incredible. What type of speakers and topics do you guys have for that?
Yeah, for Queenstown, we've got a really awesome lineup, and it's thanks to about 50% of returning presenters. So we do rely heavily on the presenters sort of who do an awesome job and enjoy themselves to come back and partake in future conferences. So we've got sort of about 50% returning and 50% new ones. So all our topics relate directly to emergency care. But we've got a two different presentations from a New Zealand based retrieval specialist. So one's a nurse who's going to talk about complex case studies. And so she'll talk about sort of logistics sort of behind, I guess, being in a small aircraft and trying to care for a patient and go through some sort of 3 to 4 different sort of cases that she's come across and how they've dealt. And another presenter that we're really excited to have on board is actually also a retrieval. He's now an anaesthetist working in the ICU there as a consultant. But in his experience doing retrieval medicine, actually looking at sort of the palliative side of it, where and the discussions that they need to have with the family prior to transporting a patient, where the the prognosis is very poor, especially given the constraints of the aircraft and how to have those discussions. And I think the reason why I bring that up as one of the topics that's going to be presented is that it's really relevant as well to sort of paramedics coming through. And as a new paramedic on road, it's a really hard conversation to have with families if you've got no experience, and hopefully you've got a good mentor that's kind of, you can sort of watch how they do it and you can put your own sort of spin on it. But unfortunately, as we all know, you're not always sort of blessed to have those great mentors at the start. And so just sort of picking up some sort of tips and tricks from these experienced doctors who are in sort of the most challenging of circumstances having to have these conversations, I think is really exciting. In terms of the other presentations, we've got a couple of paramedics that are going to be talking about sort of the latest in care of the paramedics practice, where it's heading, what's going to be sort of occurring in the future. And then we've also got the medical director from Ambulance Victoria, which is David Anderson, and he's also going to be presenting. So it's a really cool, varied lineup. It's pretty sort of, representative of what we have in all our conferences. So for Bali, for example, our timetable, although mostly different presenters, it's very similar. So things like we've got a midwife that we're talking about out of hospital emergencies with births when it doesn't go to plan, as well as a host of other topics that relate directly to that emergency care pre-hospital sort of setting.
That sounds fantastic. You guys have an incredible lineup of people. And you mentioned there too that, you know, you're gaining really great insights from people that you might not get exposure to, say, like you said, if you don't get you have a really good mentor on road during your placements or in that sort of early start of your career. What have been some of the best tips and tricks and things that you've learnt outside of being in sort of that real uni or sort of textbook setting, some of the stuff that has really made an impression on you and your practice?
I think just generally speaking in paramedic practice, what I found was you do a lot of learning in university and you have this idea of how things are going to go. And when you get out there, you realize that the vast majority of your learning is done on the job. It's about just watching what your mentors are doing and picking pieces from each of them that's going to work for you. Obviously you're going to have good mentors, you're going to have not so good mentors, but just taking your time and really finding what works for you and chatting to your mates and just having faith in just time on road and experience is what's going to build you as a good paramedic.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point there, Dylan. I think one of my first mentors sort of told me this, is that even the people that you'll struggle to work with and that you may question whether it's their clinical skills, knowledge, their personal sort of skills, but everyone has something that you can learn something from them. And so take that time to really find what it is from that person that you want to learn. work with them, and then that can really help to develop you as you progress through your career.
That's fantastic advice and really important insights there. And like you said, even if they don't teach you sort of what to do, they'll teach you what not to do.
Exactly.
In that perspective. So there is always a learning opportunity. And so I think that makes a really good point in terms of, going to experience different things and going to events and things like that to expose yourself to new information. And it might challenge what you already know. And I think the really important thing too of this sort of lifelong learning perspective is that, you know, students really look to it, and I did too. You know, you look to the end of your degree as sort of the light at the end of the tunnel, and then you, as you get out, as you said, you realize that there's so much more to learn on the job, and it's sort of this, you kind of feel like you start back at the bottom again. So it's really cool that you guys, have sort of these conferences that give you the ability to sort of drink, you know, more from the well. I feel like it's like drinking from a fire hose. It's almost impossible to gather all the information, but
for sure,
that makes it even more exciting. So, I mean, are there any things that you guys really wanted to, talk about or explain to students or up and coming sort of grads and things like that about what you guys do and what you want people to get out of your experiences?
I think from my perspective, it's trying to understand what a conference week actually looks like. And it's probably the most common question we get. And it's really hard to try and articulate it through the means that we have, which is the website, social media, that face-to-face, putting out flyers. And so I think it's really important when you look at one of our conferences of seeing it as it's a full week event, or the 5 days, and it's more than just sessions. It's more than just getting out there and enjoying yourself. So on the first night, we have a welcome party. It's a really good way to kick things off. It's part of the registration process, but it's also an opportunity to, I guess, in a bit more of a relaxed setting, get to meet people. And from there already, people sort of form those bonds, and it might be, oh, hey, where are you going tomorrow? And it might be, oh, yeah, cool, I'm going to do a day tour out to Canggu or something like that in Bali, and like, oh cool, we've got a spare seat, jump on board. And so it's already sort of building those friendships and those networks. And then each day we sort of, depending on the location, we might do sort of 2 to 3 hours of content either in the morning or in the evening, and that's really to sort of maximize your time getting out there, exploring, enjoying whatever that location has to offer. And so then that's next sort of 4 days where that sort of develops, you build those bonds. We do have e-learning. So if people are looking to complete extra hours during that week, there is around about, a minimum of 10 hours on there, but there's certainly, it almost leads you down these rabbit warrens. You can certainly spend a lot longer doing the e-learning. Or if you're too busy out there enjoying yourself, you can always click on and do your e-learning when you return back home. Then I think, and this is Dylan's sort of little baby that's sort of grown over the years, is our closing event. And it's a really good way to sort of wrap up the week, and it really just sort of sets that tone of what the week is. And it's awesome, these closing events where you can kind of you see how close everyone gets and those bonds, and you just know that sort of they're going to take these contacts home, they're going to keep in touch, they're already looking at sort of what's next. One of our Bali conferences in 2019, which is the last time we were able to get over there, but one of the presenters, Craig Hooper, he actually, I think it was about 10 or 12 people he got on board to start doing some pracs over there. And so they were already organising for a couple of months later to go out to sort of these remote Indonesian clinics to assist there. And so it's just that whole sort of holistic approach, I guess, from the conference, not just a session in the evening or not just a cool spot to go to, but it's everything you can get out of a conference.
Yeah, I guess the other thing to add to that is that Quentin and I typically weren't the type of people to attend conferences. So we had been to a conference before, and we found it quite bland, but we really just wanted to create something that we would want to attend. And I think that's what sets us apart from other events, is that they're just fun. The presentations are engaging, you get something from it, but you make new friends, you get good contacts, and you just have a great time on your holiday.
Well, thank you so much for jumping on. Is there any way that our listeners can learn more about EMS conferences and sort of get more information and interest in sort of jumping on board in the future?
Yeah, sure. So we're pretty active on social media. So on Facebook and Instagram, you can just search EMS conferences with an S at the end. And our website is emsconferences.com.au.
Fantastic. Well, I'll pop those all into the show notes so that everyone can just click the link. But that's really awesome. Thank you guys for jumping on. And I hope that all of our listeners have gained some insight into sort of CPD, lifelong learning, and about you guys and your awesome conferences and conference weeks, should I say. So that's really cool. Thank you.
Thanks for having us on, Alex.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Student Paramedic Podcast. You can connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or you can email us at thestudentparamedicpodcast@gmail.com.